The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Norwich Solar Technologies, The Alchemist Brewery, Let's Grow Kids, UVM Medical Center, and nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're spending the hour this week talking about how Vermont businesses are faring with the coronaviruses. What are some of their challenges, some opportunities, and what's their advice to others? In this half hour, we're going to be joined by Michelle Ash, the Vice President of Twin Craft Skincare. We'll also have with us Bill Butcher, the Sales and Marketing Manager for Mocha Joe's Roasting Company and Cafe in Brattleboro. And Sam Hooper, the owner of Vermont Glove, will be joining us a little later. And we want to hear from you. If you're a business owner who's been impacted by the coronavirus, give us a call at 244-1777. Or if you just want some of the insights of some of our guests in dealing with some of the challenges that you face, feel free to share your story. Michelle Ash and Bill Butcher, welcome to the Vermont Conversation. Michelle, I want to start with you. Twin Craft is in the business of making soap. You find yourself being in hot demand right now. Tell me what the effect has been on Twin Craft.
For sure. Thank you, David, and thank you for having me on the show. Well, we feel actually profoundly blessed to be in a business that is actually making a difference in the response and to the coronavirus. We manufacture both bar and liquid soap. We manufacture that out of our two facilities, Essex and Winooski. And what we're seeing is a huge increase in demand, as one might expect, both from our current customers who are placing additional orders to new customers who want us to try to formulate and get a product out as fast as we can for them. So, yes, we're, given that washing your hands is one of the best things we can all do to prevent getting the virus and spreading the virus, our demand is up.
Tell me, how are you dealing with the increase in demand? I believe I saw that Twin Craft is actually hiring right now.
Yes, Twin Craft is one of the few companies that's probably us and cleaning companies. We are hiring. How are we keeping up with the demand? We've got a lot of very committed, very smart, a team of people that's being creative in finding ways, mostly to how we can formulate quickly. What we're going to right now are some proven standalone formulas that we can quickly get up and running, as opposed to taking some of the basic formulas and innovating them to make them different, to make them more creativity put into them. So I think what we're really doing is trying to streamline what we do. Speed to market is important right now.
Are you facing hurdles in terms of, delivery? I mean, as everything is shutting down, supply lines are freezing up. How is this affecting you?
Well, seeing that this was coming, we tried as best we could to order a few weeks ago, which we did for a lot of our key raw materials. If this keeps going on for several weeks, that will be the bottleneck for us, is getting materials here to actually manufacture the products. Right now, other than maybe some specialty kind of packages, right now we're able to keep manufacturing going. It really will depend, David, on how long this continues.
Now, I know, we've done a feature in the past on Twin Craft. It's a very, innovative model. You employ many new Americans. How has the coronavirus been affecting your workforce and their communities?
You know, it's really interesting. The first thing that we had to deal with was the, you know, we are manufacturing, so we do have white collar and blue collar, and we really have always tried to create a culture where we're really a family. However, with the coronavirus, there's a real distinction between those who can work from home and those who can't. So we very quickly had folks that could work from home, and those that could work maybe part-time from home and, you know, still needed to come in a little bit to contribute to keeping things going. That was the first hurdle, and I think we've done a good job in managing that. As far as our new American community, the challenge there was making sure that they understood what was happening, because, you know, English is their second language, and many of them aren't that proficient at it yet. So we've made sure that we've had translators help us deliver the message. We also have all of our signage about the virus in the languages of the people that, you know, are here. So that's been the biggest. I'm not even going to call it a challenge. It's just what we do. You know, we just try to figure it out. And the folks coming in to make soap, really, there is this sense of pride that we're making something that people need right now. We keep hearing that day in and day out, how people are really feel good about what we're making.
How do you keep your workforce healthy and you know, not have an outbreak in your own facility?
Well, how do we limit the chances we have an outbreak? That's what we're trying to do, decrease that probability. We have boosted up our cleaning protocols, hired on additional staff to clean throughout the day. All of the surfaces that are touched frequently are disinfected just as frequently. So it's, you know, cleaning is just an ongoing process right now. We have protocols in place where people, as soon as they come in the building, they sanitize their hands. Our manufacturing folks are all wearing gloves. If everybody knows if they at all feel sick, please stay home. They contact our people center, and, you know, we just encourage them to stay home. Really, that's you know, it's the cleaning. It's the best of. We also have the fortune of having a chemist on staff, and he was a microbiology science major before becoming our chemist. So we're in constant consultation with our in-house expert to see, you know, are the cleaning protocols we're doing effective, and, you know, how can we do them better?
Right. Well, let's turn to Bill Butcher from Mocha Joe's Roasting Company in Brattleboro. Bill, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hi, David. Thanks.
What's the impact that the coronavirus has had on Mocha Joe's? And talk a little bit about the business.
Yeah, so Mocha Joe's is a specialty coffee roasting operation here in Brattleboro, Vermont. We also have a downtown cafe that's been open for 30 years in downtown Brattleboro. And we also import green coffee from around the world to be roasted right here in Brattleboro and sell to more than 100 cafe and grocery customers throughout the Northeast, and we also sell direct to consumers online. So we have kind of two sides of the business here in terms of the storefront cafe where we brew coffee and serve to customers, and then our roasting operation where we sell beans in bulk to wholesale customers and retail customers. Our cafe was open until this week. We had gone to takeout only at the cafe, but the demand just wasn't keeping up with what we would have needed to keep it open. We don't do any, we sell baked goods that are baked by other bakers, so we don't do food production. It's just coffee, essentially, there. And there just wasn't enough demand for the coffee to keep it open. So we closed the cafe this week, and our coffee roasting operation is still up and running, roasting 4 days a week here and selling mainly at this point to grocery stores, our local co-ops and markets here in southern Vermont, really throughout Vermont in terms of the co-op clients, and then also direct to consumers. We've seen a real bump up in our online sales, the direct to consumer sales.
Hmm. How does the shutdown order that Governor Scott announced yesterday, is that going to affect your production of coffee?
Well, fortunately, Governor Scott agrees with all of us who work in the coffee roasting business that coffee roasting is an essential business, so we appreciate that. We believe it's essential, of course, for our daily lives. We're part of the food supply chain, so we're exempt from the shutdown order in terms of the roasting operation, manufacturing, and food production. We've got co-ops and grocery stores are open, and that's the place where people are getting things they might have purchased out before, like coffee and things. People are doing more home brewing, so we're keeping that part of the supply chain running by roasting our coffee here and getting it out to grocery stores and also direct to consumers.
Have you had to lay off any staff?
Our cafe staff are currently, I guess you would call it, furloughed. You know, they're we have about 10 or 15 people who work at the cafe, and it's primarily part-time hourly workers there, and we're expecting all of them will be taking advantage of the expansion of unemployment benefits in the state to access those services at this time. Here at the roast shop, right now we have not reduced anyone's hours or laid anyone off, and we're not anticipating doing that, though. As production slows, we may be going to a part-time schedule for our staff here, keeping everybody employed, but just cutting back the hours a little bit as production demands.
As you know, in the various kind of bailout or assistance schemes that we're hearing may be coming down the line for small businesses, what would help Mocha Joe's the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think what most businesses look for is freedom to use the money as they see fit to address their needs during something like this, be it payroll, be it, in purchasing, et cetera. So I think, having as little strings attached to the money as possible. Of course, we're going to be sinking it back into the business here. Mocha Joe's an industry leader in social responsibility. It's really important to us. We're a people-first business. So our first thought is, how do we make sure we keep our people employed and taken care of? And so however we use any federal or state assistance will be with that in mind. So we hope it has there aren't any limitations that would prevent us from being able to do that and support our people who work for us and up and down throughout the supply chain.
Right. Well, let's turn now to Sam Hooper. Sam is the owner of Vermont Glove in Randolph. Sam, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks a lot, David. Appreciate to be on.
Talk about what impact coronavirus has had on Vermont Glove and what you're making right now.
So pretty uncertain times for us. Not really sure how the market's going to react. We are lucky in the sense that we navigate a diverse market channels. So we make gloves for electrical utility professionals and trade and service the trade industry, as well as we sell in retail and direct to consumer off our website. So our strategy has definitely changed in terms of how we thought we were going to grow in 2020. But right now we've changed things in a way, bigger way, operationally. We're now making face masks and selling those into the market where they're most needed, taking orders. And we'll begin shipping our first POs out this Friday.
And these are medical or surgical masks?
So, that's an interesting term, and I have to be very careful. Let me be abundantly clear that these are not medical grade. They're not FDA regulated. They are not the equivalent of an N95 mask. These are tightly woven cotton masks, we've deferred to CDC guidelines as these should be used once all N95 masks have been exhausted. And through the fast learning that we've had to do over the last 2-3 weeks, it's a little bit unclear as to what the needs are and whose needs are the most. But it's our understanding that N95 mask supply is running out rapidly, and we've been told that a cotton, tightly woven cotton mask is a lot better than nothing. So some hospitals are using them in other wings of the hospital in order to free up N95 masks for direct use with COVID-19 patients. Some are using them to wear over an N95 mask and protect the N95 mask from becoming a disposable product because a lot are being asked to reuse them. So it's been a fast learning curve, and we're trying, we've been on the phone with suppliers as much as we can for hours on hours and state governments, and trying to figure out what the supply chain looks like for medical grade material. And it's our understanding, and we're getting the same response from other NGOs and nonprofits around the country who are working on linking manufacturers with hospitals. Everybody cannot get their hands on the type of material that N95 masks are made out of. And that's a pretty specific grade. A viral grade filtration mask needs to be rated for 0.3. Don't ask me about the nuts and bolts of the rating scale, but getting something that has breathability and filters that small of a particle is really hard across the world right now.
So who are you providing these masks to, and how many do you think you'll be able to produce as you get up to full speed?
Yeah, so we got new cutting dies in just the other day, so we can cut these a lot more efficiently on our big presses, and that allows us to streamline the sewing process a lot more. Obviously our sewers are highly skilled and are used to making leather gloves, so to do a square face mask is a lot simpler for them. But with that said, right now we think we can produce about 1,000 a day moving forward, starting tomorrow. And currently we have orders going to Vermont County Sheriff's Departments, state police. We're working on getting some for Gifford Medical, Dartmouth-Hitchcock. We're also taking orders from private companies that have a lot of employees who are trying to protect their staff. So just kind of figuring it out as we go, as fast as we can. But we have a team. Our team of 8 folks are sewing them. We immediately called the state last night, obviously, to try to get designated as an essential business. And we have, now we're running our business in a very responsible way with regard to environmental cleaning and COVID-19 viral spread. We have almost all of our employees are working from home except for 2. And we've put our factory into 2 isolation zones separated by floor. So I've got 1 employee who comes in through the back door of the basement and stays downstairs all day, and then 1 employee who comes through the front door, the main door. And that's really important for us to be able to continue to send those 2 folks in, because we rely on them to streamline the cutting process. We've set up home sewing studios for the rest of our team so we can get mask sewing kits out to their houses. We do all transfers curbside, and we think we can start to vamp up production rather quickly. We've also brought on a team of about 15 home sewers and community members who have the ability to sew on a home sewing machine, and they have volunteered to receive mask kits as well and be paid by the piece.
Okay. Michelle Ash, let me turn back to you. Among the people who are listening, maybe people who were had a job a few days ago that they can no longer work right now. What advice do you have for other business people who are facing real challenges at this moment for facing the future?
Oh, you know, I feel for folks. It all depends on their type of business. I love how Vermont Glove has kind of pivoted hard, taking what they have as far as expertise in making gloves and making masks. I would say, assuming, if we're going to assume this goes on for quite some time, maybe to just, we've got a lot of creative people here, and especially the entrepreneurs in this state. You know, try to explore some ways that your business may be able to take some of the expertise that you have to fill a need that we have right now in the marketplace. It's tough. I'm talking to other business owners, and the only thing that we all come up with was this too shall pass. I know it's a heartbreak for business owners that have to put people on furlough or lay them off, I think we all here in Vermont in particular operate our business with a real heart for the people that work for us. So this has been painful. And the only thing that I've come up with so far is just the creativity, the distilleries that are now making alcohol for hand sanitizers. We've partnered with a few of them because we have an ingredient that they need and can't get. So we've got, for example, glycerin. So we've been able to supply that to some of the distilleries.
Let me ask Bill Butcher similarly at Mocha Joe's. Any words of wisdom for folks out there who are wondering how to get through this and to be of use?
Yeah, I mean, I'd echo the remarks there in terms of using, all of our entrepreneurial spirits. We all work for businesses that are doing something, have found their niche in the system, in the economy, and so how do we double down on what we do really well is something we think about here, for example, at Mocha Joe's. We think we roast really great coffee here, and we think people know that and appreciate that. And so, and we think it's something that people care about too. Supporting a local business, supporting a socially responsible business, supporting a business that puts people before profits. So we just urge people to support us and support other local businesses, and that sort of ethos will help us get through any number of challenges.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we're going to leave it there and thank all of you for sharing your insights with us this week on the Vermont Conversation. Michelle Ash is the Vice President of TwinCraft Skincare. Bill Butcher is the Sales and Marketing Manager at Mocha Joe's Roastery. And Sam Hooper is the owner of Vermont Glove. Thanks to all of you for joining us on the Vermont Conversation this week.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
And David, I have one request for everyone listening. That is, we are making soap donations around the state. So if anybody knows of an organization that needs soap, we'll make a delivery to that organization. So I just wanted to let people know, give us a call, and give me a call in particular. I'm coordinating that effort right now.
Okay, and your website or number?
My phone number, I'm going to give you my cell, is 802-598-7133.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for listening to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Stay tuned for next week's show at next Wednesday at 1.
Thank you.
The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. And nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.